Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, because he says, Where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. There's some parts of this passage which are hard to understand, but I want to put it in the context that it comes up in, which is these words. Jesus says in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world in verse 12. I am the light of the world. My question to you today is, what do you do with the light that Jesus gives to you? Jesus brings you light. What do you do with the light that he brings to you? The context in which Jesus says these words, we've already spoken about. A group of men have been shown their unrighteousness before God. They came to accuse a lady and to trip up Jesus, but instead they're being convicted by Jesus that they themselves are sinners. We said last week that if you come into the presence of God, you will not feel righteous, you won't feel clean. Instead, you will feel your need to be cleansed by him. You'll feel your need to be saved. And then those men have gone away. The woman has gone away, and Jesus has kept teaching. And then he makes one of these statements that only Jesus could say and get away with. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. The world needs light. Jesus knows that the world needs light. But Jesus is saying something incredible. Jesus is saying, although you have some sort of light, he is the great light. He is the one light. In our world, even though we have much light, the light of the sun, and perhaps we have our own intelligence and lots of intelligent people to tell us how to live, most of us know that in this world there's actually lots of darkness too. We can see darkness in many parts of life. I mean, you probably see the news or read the news at some point, and you know that there's darkness in the world on this big scale. I was reading the news the other day, and just in one newspaper, there was news of a gang rape and murder. And then on another page, there was a news of someone who had killed someone because of their race. And in another part of the paper, there was news that there was a serial killer who had been arrested who just killed for the fun of it. And that was without even thinking about all the wars that were happening in the Middle East and about the speculation about the end of the world. And we know that there's darkness in the world. When you look at the news, you can't help but realise that there's darkness in the world. Jesus says that he is the light. But even if you don't think about the world, even if you know your own heart and in your own life, you know that there's darkness in your own life sometimes too, sometimes often. There's darkness on an individual level in your life. Often our own consciences condemn us. Often we feel guilty because there's a dark secret that we have, something that we have done that makes us feel ashamed. Sometimes we feel a darkness in our life because we don't know where our life is heading. We don't know why things have turned out the way that they have. We don't know why things have gone wrong, and we don't know where things are going to end up. And things feel dark. They don't feel light. The world needs light. You need light. I need light. We each need light in our own lives. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now you think about what he is saying here. Jesus is more powerful. Jesus is in more places than the sun itself. Now we've had evidence today that the sun is very powerful. But even the sun casts a shadow over the half of the world. There's darkness on the other side of the world. But where Jesus is, there is light wherever he is. Jesus drives all shadows away. The shadows in your life, the shadows in the world. Jesus illuminates your life more than the sun illuminates the world. Jesus says that this light that he's going to bring to you, if you repent and believe in him, he calls it the light of life. Jesus will bring you a completely new life, transformed by his light. If you follow Jesus, he gives you a life that is new. He gives you a light that is brightened by his words. He gives you a life that throws light in all the corners of your life, and you become a changed person. Now you think about who is saying this. We get used to thinking about Jesus claiming to be God. But at this point in time, Jesus is a carpenter's son who has become a teacher, a rabbi even, and he doesn't even own a house or even a second set of clothes. This is a man teaching in the temple who doesn't even have a place to stay that night. What would you say to someone who said that they could illuminate your life more than the sun itself, and yet they had to go and beg for a place to stay that night? You'd probably laugh at him. But you see, instead of laughing at Jesus, the Pharisees and everyone around him knew that they had to take Jesus seriously. They didn't laugh at Jesus. In fact, the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, they actually feel the need to respond to him because they're threatened by him, even though they're the important, successful people, the religious leaders in their world. And so this is what they say to Jesus when he says, "I am the light of the world." They say to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Now let me explain. This is basically what they're saying. They're saying, "Well, that's just what you say, and who are you?" That's what they're saying to him. "That's just what you say. Who do you think you are? We don't believe you." They're trying to break him down. They're trying to make sure not just that they don't listen to him, but that all the other people around don't listen to him either. They don't want people to listen to Jesus. Jesus offers them light, and straight away, they shut him down. Now, here is my question to you, and it's a big question. Do you treat the light that Jesus brings to you as a threat? Think about that. When you hear Jesus' words, when Jesus speaks to you from the scriptures, do you receive them as something that can brighten your life and change your life and help you to become like Jesus and bring you salvation? Something that shows you what God is really like and shows you what you are really like and shows you what the world is really like? Or would you rather he hadn't said it? Would you rather put away what Jesus said? After all, Jesus said a lot of things that are recorded in the Gospels. And Jesus said some really hard things. Maybe you like listening to some of Jesus' things, but then when Jesus says some hard things, you want to push that away because you don't like what Jesus is saying. For instance, here are some of Jesus' hard sayings. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, "Whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of judgment." Not just whoever hits his brother or murders his brother, but even in your heart, if you're angry, does that make you feel like Jesus is pushing a button that you don't want to be pushed? Does it make you feel guilty? He says in another part, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust after her is already guilty of the sin of adultery." It's like you've already slept with that woman in your heart. You're guilty. Does that make you feel unclean? Do you want to push away Jesus' words? Is he throwing light into some shadows in your mind and you don't want Jesus' light to be there? Jesus says, and this is one of the hardest things that Jesus says, and it starts with the word love. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you." Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. When you see that, and Jesus shines that light on your life, do you want to accept that? Do you want to accept that you have to love like Jesus loved, be hurt the way that Jesus was hurt, love your enemies even when they despise you? Or do you want to push that away? You'd rather that Jesus didn't shine his light on the dark shadows of your anger or the dark shadows of your bitterness. You'd rather hate your enemies and you don't want Jesus to tell you to love your enemies. You'd rather hit back at people who hurt you and you don't think it's fair of Jesus to tell you what to do in that case because you just want to hurt those who hurt you. And Jesus said this, here's another hard saying. He said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Don't be afraid of those who can kill you. There's a hard thing already. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. What do you want to do with that? Do you want to let Jesus shine his light on your life? Do you want to think about the fact that hell exists and it wasn't just the figment of someone's imagination, it was Jesus who said it? Do you want to think about the fact that maybe if I don't repent, I'm going to hell? Do you want to let Jesus shine that light in your life? Or would you rather Jesus kept out of the shadows? That he just left you in your darkness? Because Jesus said in another part of John, which we read earlier in this series, that people love darkness rather than light. Now these are all words that Jesus was teaching the Israelites. And when you hear them, what's your response? Does it enlighten you? Does it show you something about yourself and the world and God? Does it bring you nearer to God? Or do you want to push Jesus away? When Jesus shows you the light, do you see it as a threat? Do you see it as making you change or forcing you to change something that you just don't want to change, you just want to hold on to? And you'd rather have that. You'd rather have your bitterness, your anger, your adultery, your self-righteousness. You'd rather have that than Jesus. So the Pharisees, the first thing they do is they just say to Jesus, yep, that's just what you say, and who are you? They try and get rid of Jesus' threat. They try and put it away. But Jesus answers. Jesus answers them and says this. They say to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Jesus says, no, what I'm saying is true. What you think about Jesus doesn't actually matter as much as the fact that what Jesus says is actually true. If you believe it, or even if you don't, it doesn't change whether or not Jesus is telling the truth. And Jesus says, I am telling the truth, and the only way that you can know that he is telling the truth is by the fact that he's not just speaking it on his own behalf. He says, it's not just me saying this, but the Father will back me up on this. All I'm doing is saying what the Father in heaven has sent me to say. Verse 16 to 18 says this. He says, well, first of all, in verse 15, he says, you judge according to the flesh. You Pharisees, you are judges in the land of Israel, but I judge no one. He wasn't actually sent as a judge when he came. But he says, and yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. If Jesus was going to be set up then and there as a judge, just as he will be set up as a judge when he comes again, Jesus judges truly. Why? For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. God the Father sent him into the world. Jesus isn't just Jesus. Jesus is sent by God the Father. He says, it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself. I'm saying this to you. And the one who's backing me up is God the Father himself. The Father who sent me bears witness of me. Now, if you're reading what it says up there, you'll notice that he doesn't actually say God the Father. He just says, my Father. But he's making some claims that I'm pretty sure the Pharisees were starting to twig that he's actually talking about the Father in heaven, not just Joseph, Because they say to him, all right, well, tell us more about this father of yours. They say to him, where is your father? If you're going to say, the father's backing you up, who's your father? And again, Jesus doesn't give them a straight answer. Instead, he zones in on their hearts. He says to them, there's no point you knowing who my father is because you don't love me and you don't love my father. He says, you have neither, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would know my father also. Jesus says to them, it's not about knowing where Jesus' father lives. The important thing is to actually know, as in to have a relationship with, Jesus' father. Now, Jesus has said, I am the light of the world. And the reason he brings you this light is so that you can know the Father, so that you can have a relationship with Jesus' Father, so that you can be the son or daughter of Jesus' Father, who is God. And how do you know what God is like? How did the Israelites know what God is like? Well, they could read about him in the Old Testament, and we can still read about him in the Old Testament, but even more so, God revealed what he is like by sending us Jesus himself. We get, as it says in verse 19, we get to know the Father by knowing Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. Jesus had been there teaching, doing miracles, showing them wonderful things about himself and God the Father. And they hadn't been paying attention. Jesus had calmed the sea. He'd healed paralyzed people. He'd cleansed the lepers. But they didn't pay attention to the great miracles that Jesus did. Jesus says to them, basically, my Father has been trying to get your attention, but you just keep rejecting him. You don't know my Father. Maybe in your life, God has been doing things which might be getting your attention, or at least they should be getting your attention. But are they? How has God been working in your life to get your attention, to get you to pay attention to him? Maybe God has been showing you certain things about yourself that should really drive you to him, that should really drive you to seek life in God. After all, Jesus is the light. He will show you the way to this life in God. Jesus will show you the way to the Father. So go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And if you are in a relationship with Jesus, then you will be in a relationship with the Father. Jesus will bring you into the presence of the Father, because both Jesus and the Father are God. Now, I just want to say a couple more things. This is what the Pharisees wanted to do after Jesus stung them. This is why I think that in their hearts, they knew that he was talking about the fact that they didn't really know God, even though he didn't mention God. Because what did they do? It says in verse 20, Jesus spoke these words in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Did they want to lay hands on him? Did they want to hurt Jesus? Yes, they did. They did. It says no one laid hands on him, not because it wasn't in their heart, but because God was restraining them. They did actually want to hurt Jesus after this. They wanted to reject him. They actually were starting to hate him. Maybe you would rather hate Jesus than submit to him. Maybe if you were back there, you would be one of the Pharisees saying, no, I'm fine, and Jesus should be crucified. Maybe you would rather kill Jesus than actually listen to him tell you that you're a sinner who deserves death and that you need him to be saved. Maybe you'd rather kill Jesus than do that. Because in the end, there's really only two ways. You put aside Jesus the way that the Pharisees put aside Jesus. You'd rather Jesus was dead than actually submit to him. Or the other way is to submit to him, to recognize that he died on a cross for your sins, which deserve death. If Jesus shines the light in your life, just as he's doing right now through the Word of God, you can put away Jesus, put him out of your conscience, and go back and enjoy your darkness. And you've put Jesus away the same way that the Pharisees put Jesus away, and they hated him. Do you hate Jesus because he shines a light in your life that you would rather not listen to? Or do you submit to Jesus? Do you let Jesus' light shine in on your life? Confess to him. Confess to him today just how sinful you know you really are because you've seen his light in your life. You know just how weak you are. You know just how dirty you are. And just how gracious Jesus is to cleanse you and to bring you to God through him. You repent and believe, and Jesus washes those sins away. Psalm 103 tells us that he takes those sins and casts them into the deepest part of the sea, that he sends them as far away from you as the east is from the west, that your sins, the guilt of them, is never seen again. So what will you do with this light? I want to just bring you to one last statement that Jesus says. Because the conversation continues, and I just want to skip over a little bit. And they just keep saying to him, "Who are you? Prove yourself. Who are you? Prove yourself." And Jesus says to them in verse 25, they say to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus says to them, "Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I keep telling you." Jesus has tried to show them over and over and over again who he is. "Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. You want to know who I am? I keep telling you who I am. And you don't listen. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." Jesus is really plain about who he is. Jesus is God, the Son of God. He's come to save you from your sins. He comes to call you to repentance, to believe in him. There's nothing complicated about that. Jesus doesn't mix it up all the time. And he's got so many things to say to you. He's got so many things to say to you about your life, about how to live like him, about how to enjoy a life full of relationship with God. He's got so many things to say to you, but you need to recognize who Jesus has been saying he is right from the very beginning. You need to repent and believe before Jesus, the Son of God, before God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit will forgive you and be with you. So what are you going to do with Jesus' light? What will you do when Jesus shines his light on your life? If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, Jesus will shine his light on your life. What are you going to do with it? What will you do when Jesus challenges your sense of your own goodness? What will you do when Jesus tells you to give up everything else and to follow him? What will you do when Jesus pinpoints things in your life which are against him and he wants you to give them up? Are you going to embrace Jesus? Are you going to submit to Jesus? Or will you, like the Pharisees, reject him, even kill him, You'd rather have him dead than have him show you or enlighten your dark corners. I want to encourage you to believe, because right at the end of this passage, Jesus spoke these words, "I am the light of the world," and many believed in him. And I want that to describe you today. As a Christian, that you will grow more and more like Jesus, and even if you have not repented and believed before him, that you'll believe in him today and repent before Jesus, the light of the world, who shines the light into all the dark shadows of your life.